The Government Accountability Office is celebrating its 90th anniversary. President Warren G. Harding signed the Budget and Accounting Act of 1921 that established the GAO. Comptroller General Gene Dodaro tells Federal News Radio that they're going to celebrate, but not in a big way.
In keeping with GAO's modest approach to things, we were just having a logo on our website and a video commemorating key events in our 90-year history.
What are some of those key events?
Well, some of the key events, Amy, were how GAO has evolved as government has evolved at our national level over the years. In 1921, when we were founded, we were largely doing voucher examinations as part of the federal government. After World War II, the accounting functions were moved to the executive branch, and GAO became more focused on financial audits of efficiency and effectiveness. Then during the 60s, as government continued to grow with the war on poverty and a lot of social programs, GAO then became more focused on program evaluations as to whether programs were operating very efficiently and effectively, meeting their objectives. And then we began an additional focus on financial management in the federal government, which helped lead to the creation of the Chief Financial Officers Act in 1990. And GAO began also more focused on management functions and looking at doing broad management reviews of agencies. And so our evolution continues as government's needs and requirements. And looking ahead to the future, we will continue to serve the broad range of issues that are important to the country and to the Congress and continue to provide, you know, what services are needed to help the Congress carry out its constitutional responsibilities and help him continue to improve government for the benefit of the American people.
And how many times has it changed its name?
We only changed our name once in 2004. We went from the General Accounting Office to the Government Accountability Office. We were sensitive not to change the brand of GAO, but it was important from a couple of perspectives. One, recruiting. When we went on campuses, people said, well, if you're the General Accounting Office, you know, we don't really want to do accounting. And our focus is really much broader than that. We do financial auditing. We do weigh in on accounting issues, and it's a very important part of our role historically and currently. But we do mostly performance audits across the full range of programs that the federal government has right now. So it was very important for recruiting purposes and also for people understanding why we were looking at particular issues beyond just accounting issues and people we were auditing or other people in terms of new members of administrations and the Congress. And so it's helped quite a bit better explain what we do without changing our brand name of GAO.
Now, GAO is 90. You have personally served more than a third of the agency's history. So tell us at GAO. So tell us how it looks differently now to you personally than it did when you first joined.
Yeah, well, Tom, when I first joined GAO, only about a third of the work that we were doing was in direct response to requests from the Congress. Right now, due to our outreach and strategic planning process and working with the Congress, about 95% of what we do is in direct response to a congressional mandate, something that's in a statute or conference or committee report, or at a request of a chair or ranking member of Congress. So we're much more in tune with the critical issues that the Congress is addressing, both helping influence what those issues are and be responsive to the needs of the Congress. We're also much smaller agency than we were. And during the days of voucher examination, we had almost 14,000 people, but in the modern GAO, we had about 5,500 people up into the mid-1990s, where our size was reduced about 40%. So now we're an organization of 3,200 people. We also are a much more diverse organization. About 31% of our population is minorities, 57% women, and we represent a full range of disciplines that are needed in order to carry out our work. We have people with public policy, public administration. We have accountants, attorneys, economists. We have IT specialists, scientists, an actuary. We have a full range of our very multidisciplinary professional services organization. So those are some of the key changes.
And we are talking with the Comptroller General, Gene Dodaro, and we're learning more about the 90th anniversary of GAO. And where do you even begin to take it from here? What are your plans for the next, I'm not going to say 90 years, but let's say 5 to 10?
Well, Amy, I think our focus really has to be in three key areas. First is being responsive to all of the national issues that are very important, both on security issues, fiscal issues, program issues. Secondly, and that means making sure we have a good strategic plan for serving the Congress. We just updated our strategic plan last year, and we work for every standing committee of the Congress and about 70% of the subcommittee. So it's important that we're in tune with the most important issues as they evolve. And so we try to stay ahead of that and do strategic plans, 5 years in advance. Secondly, as you know, we keep a high risk list, for the Congress of areas that are susceptible to fraud, waste, abuse, and mismanagement or in need of broad-based transformation. And it's very important that we do everything that's possible to help make sure that those issues get resolved, the risks are reduced, and money is saved, and programs are made more efficient and effective on the part of the government. And so we're working with the Congress and the administration very actively to make sure that we do everything we can while maintaining our independence to provide specific advice and counsel on how to solve those high-risk problems. There are currently 30 areas on the list. And importantly, thirdly, we need to continue to provide the Congress the best advice possible to help put the government on a fiscally sustainable path going forward. One key example to this and a new responsibility we have every year is to identify areas of duplication, overlap, and fragmentation in the federal government. And we issued our first report on this in March, highlighting 81 different areas that were either in need, of potential duplication, overlap, fragmentation, or opportunities to save money or enhance revenue. So we'll do everything we can in this area of increasing deficits and debt in order to provide help to the Congress to make sure that we get on a more fiscally prudent path.
And I just wanted to ask you one final question. Your predecessor became something of a Jeremiah for fiscal responsibility and has been crisscrossing the country ever since talking about that. From your perspective, are you optimistic about the federal government and its ability to stay eventually on some kind of reasonable course and to maintain the legitimacy in the eyes of its citizens?
Well, I think it's very important that our national leaders have the dialogue that they're having right now. That, basically, I think there's growing agreement, and it's part of that due to my predecessors, both Charles Bowser and David Walker, that they all both warned about the growing deficits issues. We've continued to do long-range simulations, but there's now consensus that we have a serious problem, and the proper policy debate is taking place among our elected leaders about how to best approach and solve that problem. So I'm confident, as we have in the past, that we will rise to the occasion and take the steps necessary to make sure our country remains very strong and has a good approach to its future.
Gene Dodaro is the Comptroller General of the United States, and as such, he is the head of the GAO. You can learn more, hear this entire interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.